And God's word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the word of God. And God's word is the revelation of his will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have, I claim it in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Lord, help us to be doers of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs is right after the book of Psalm. Proverbs chapter 18, we're just going to be looking at one verse, verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. We'll continue to talk about the power of your tongue. Let me read to you two other translations of this passage. The first is the easy to read version, and it says, the tongue can speak words that bring life or death. Those who love to talk must be ready to accept what it brings. Praise God. Mm-hmm. That was the easy to read version. Proverbs 18:21. The Good News translation, one that Pastor Steve read a couple of weeks ago, it says, what you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. Praise God. Your words are seeds that bring forth a harvest. Praise God.
Amen.
See, God created you in his image and in his likeness. And when God created you in his image and his likeness, he gave you certain abilities that he has. And God is able to create through his word. Praise Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that you can go out and create worlds and universes like God does. But you can, your words can create your world around you.
Amen.
Your words can make a difference in whether you have life in your life or death in your life. And death is not necessarily the cessation of existence or the death of your body, praise God. Amen. See, no matter what happens, even if when your body dies, you continue to exist, praise Jesus.
Amen.
You will exist forever. You will exist forever in either heaven or hell. So death is not necessarily the body no longer functioning. Death is anything that separates you from God,
amen,
who is your life. Glory to God.
Amen.
Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
So God is your life. Whenever you're separated from God, that brings death. That's why you're going to learn this today. When you read the Old Testament, a lot of times, when God is said to do something that is horrible, it usually means it's because he has departed from you. He has removed his protective presence from you, and he has allowed anything within your circumstances to come in and destroy you. Praise God. And you will see today that quite often our big fat mouths can run God away from us. Praise God. Our murmuring, our moaning, and our complaining. How many of y'all have trouble with the moaning, murmuring, and complaining? I've raised both hands on that. I know I got issues with it. Praise God. God has had mercy on me. I come from a complaining family. We are champions. If we was to have a competition in complaining, the Edwards family would win. That was one of the things the Lord had to deal with me after I got saved, was to learn to stop complaining. Praise God. Amen. I've done better in the past 30 years, but it still hits me every once in a while. But when you complain, you notice that you are always speaking negatively. Praise God. Amen. Nobody ever complains about something good. Man, why I got so much money? Oh, this is getting on my nerves. Nobody ever complains about that. Man, why the boss give me a bonus again? Gee whiz. No, we don't complain about that. We always complain about negative things going on in our lives.
Yes.
What we need to learn to do is speak life even into negative situations. We need to learn to praise instead of complaining. When the boss comes in and says, you're going to be working this weekend, don't complain. You say, praise God, that means I'm going to get time and a half. Amen. What? We need to learn this. I'm telling you, we need to learn to stop seeing the glass half empty and see it half full. Yeah, exactly. See it with your mind's eye. It's filling up now. Praise God.
Full of air and water.
Hallelujah. When life deals you lemons, instead of saying this is sour, get some sugar and make some lemonade. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. We need to learn to stop complaining. Oh, why I got these sour lemons? No. Say, glory to God. Now I got something to make lemonade with. We need to learn to speak positively. We need to learn to speak life. We need to learn to say what God says. When we start learning this book, when we start studying this word, we will learn to line our mouths up with the word of God, and we'll start speaking the word of God instead of what our situation says. And when we speak what the word of God says, then the word of God will change our circumstances. Praise the name of the Lord. See, I told you the last time we missed service because of the snow. But 2 weeks ago, if you remember, I showed you a number of scriptures on how our life conduct can open doors for God and can open doors for the devil. I showed you some scriptures that is very clear on that. And let me show you two more scriptures that I didn't get to the last time because we were running out of time. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. It's right after the book of Hebrews. For those of you who are looking in their table of contents, it is in the New Testament. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise God. Verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw near to you. We'll stop right there. See, you want God's presence, draw near to him. Praise God.
Amen.
You don't want his presence, keep backing away from him. He'll keep backing away from you. And it says that in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I can't remember the verse off the top of my head, but he tells King Asa, he says, if you forsake me, I will forsake you. Praise God. You don't want God to forsake you. Praise Jesus. He is your protection. He is your life. He is the one who keeps the devil off your back. And so that's why James tells you, if you submit yourself to God, say submit myself to God.
Submit myself to God.
See, you submit yourself to God by speaking the word, by saying what he says, and obeying him in every detail. And when you submit yourself to God, then you are able to resist the devil, and the Bible says that Satan will flee from you. Praise God.
Amen.
Another version says that he will run and start raving terror. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I like that. See, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. Just submit yourself to God. God is your protector. One of the ways, again, that you submit yourself to God is by the words of your mouth. If you are complaining, whining, murmuring, And again, I'm going to show you this in a moment. If you are just constantly complaining and murmuring and whining, that means you don't trust God. You don't have any regard for what God says. You don't have any trust that He will change your circumstances. And you are drawing away from God instead of drawing to God. But when you submit yourself to God, then you have God's presence, God's protection, God's power, and God's resources working on your behalf to deal with anything that the devil tries to bring your way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whether it's sickness, disease, financial problems, social problems, work problems, family problems, wife problems, husband problems, whatever the issue is, when you submit yourself to God, God gives you all His resources in dealing with the devil, and the devil has to get away from you. Glory to God.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but that just makes me happy. That encourages me. 1 Peter chapter 5, similar passage. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we learn that there is a distinction between God's attitude towards you and Satan's attitude towards you. In verse 7, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Isn't that wonderful? I said, isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm so glad God cares about me. So God cares about me. But now look at this. Verse 8 goes on to say, but be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now look at that. God cares about you. The devil hates you and is trying to destroy you. Praise God. God is telling you, don't submit to the devil. Don't give in to him. Speak my word. I care about you. I'm going to take care of you. When we speak anything other than what God says about our situation, then we don't believe that God cares about us. Hallelujah. And we're just opening the door for Satan to devour us. Let me share this with you again. In verse 8, it says, be sober, be watchful. That's what it means. Be alert. In other words, don't walk around like a drunken person. Be alert. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking. Say seeking.
Seeking.
Seeking whom he may devour. That means if he could have devoured you automatically, if he had the power to destroy you, he would have done it a long time ago. Praise God. The reason why he hasn't been able to destroy you is because God has been protecting you and keeping him off of your back. Now you've had some things you've allowed the devil to get into your life. But it could be a whole lot worse if God wasn't there protecting you. Praise God. But he is seeking someone to devour. That means the only way the devil can actually devour you is that you give him an open door. Praise God. Because he has to seek someone to devour. If he didn't have to seek, if he could just devour you, he would have done it by now because he hates your guts. Praise God. But because God cares about you, he's watching over you. But we've got to learn to, instead of complaining about the problems, we need to learn to cast our cares on God. Begin to tell God, what am I going through? What I'm dealing with? And then go to his word, find his promises, and say, Father God, this is what I'm dealing with, but you said in your word, blah, whatever it is. For example, if I feel sickness in my body, that's just an example. Then I go to the Bible where it talks about healing. And I go to where it said, for example, I go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, and it says that he himself bore my sicknesses and carried my infirmities. And I take this before God and I say, Father God, you bore my sicknesses. You carried my infirmities. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, by his stripes we were healed. And I go to God and I say, I thank you for my healing. Praise God.
Amen.
My wife and I, she can testify to this. We were here praying on Thursday. and I was here, I was walking, pacing back and forth, you know, waiting for others to come to pray, and I'm just praying in the spirit by myself. And so then after my wife got here and we were trying to pray together, all of a sudden I got this serious cramp in my foot. I mean, it was hurting. And the first thing that, you know, my family has problems with arthritis. My family members, arthritis, and other sicknesses and stuff. So what's the first thing the devil tells me? Ooh, you getting arthritis just like your mom.
Ooh. He wants you to believe that.
Oh yeah, he wants me to believe it. I rejected the thought, praise God. Mm-hmm. And I continued to believe God for the healing. You know, it would have been easy for me to say, well, honey, you know, I'm hurting, let's go home. I was determined. I said I was going to sit down in this chair and me and my wife are going to pray no matter how much pain I'm in. Mm-hmm. And we prayed. And as we prayed and as I believed God for the healing, the pain left. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Amen. The cramps, everything just left. And by his stripes, I was healed. Because I decided I'm going to stand on the word of God. I wasn't going to give the devil an inroad into my body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Same thing if you're facing temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says, with every temptation he makes a way of escape.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
That you may bear up under it. So all trials, all temptations that come my way, I don't have to sit there and say, why am I going through all this? This just ain't right. Oh, why God, why? No, I say, hey, Father God, I'm going through some tough stuff right now, but you have made a way out of it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And God always opens the door and gives me a way of escape. Oh, glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
I often go to the scriptures that talk about the fact that he is my ever-present help in a time of trouble. I speak that word over myself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I always go to Psalm 27 where it talks about the Lord. He is my help. He is my refuge. He is the one who takes care of me. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
You speak the word of God, and God will intervene in your situation because he has to. He loves you, number one. That's his number one reason. But he also has to honor the word spoken through a man of faith in him.
Amen.
He can't. He's a God of integrity. He can't let you down. Glory to God.
Amen.
So it goes on to say in verse 9 that you are to resist the devil steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Who brings the afflictions, God or the devil?
The devil.
Who brings the afflictions?
The devil.
Praise God. Too many people think God's the one doing it. But it says right here that the devil is the one bringing the afflictions. So if you are going to succeed in the Christian life, if you are going to be victorious, you've got to learn to guard this mouth. Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. This little tongue has a lot of power, whether you know it or not. Praise God.
Amen.
It has a lot of power. What you speak will eventually happen if you are not careful. Now, I'm not telling you to, you know, you can't joke and because I'm a big clown myself. Y'all, those of y'all who know me know I love to joke around a lot. Praise God. But I'm, you know, some people have taken this to a legalistic extension where you just can't say nothing. I mean, you say a joke in front of somebody, you better watch your mouth. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. No, let's not get legalistic about it. Amen? Let's enjoy ourselves, but at the same time, let's not say stupid stuff. Well, I guess I'm going to come down with the flu tomorrow. You sure will. Let's just watch what we say. Amen.
Amen.
We can joke and have fun.
Amen.
But let's be careful about how we use our words. All right. Turn with me to Numbers 21. Now, I'm going to show you how to interpret some things in the Old Testament, because many people are scared to read the Old Testament because they see in the Old Testament God seems to be capricious, he seems to be arbitrary, he seems to be a God of wrath. It seems like every time you just offended him just a teeny weeny little bit, that he just came and brought lightning bolts and destroyed everybody. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just recently, I never read like the prophets at the end of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I reading that, man, God was scaring me. He was like, I'm gonna come down and stomp on you.
We're gonna teach you how to read. We're gonna teach you how to understand even those prophets. I love the book. Once I began to understand this principle that I'm about to teach you today, I really began to fall in love with the prophetic books. Because I saw that God was really trying to reach his people and trying to bring them back. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, when people, let me say this, and I'm glad you brought this up, Radham. Sometimes people don't understand that there is a level of maturity that some people have. Amen. For example, you wouldn't treat Radamus, little Radamus, the way you would treat Walter and Jessica. You would talk to little Radamus a certain way. You would talk to Walter and Jessica another way. If you see Radamus running out in the street, you are going to threaten him with divine wrath. Now, Jessica and Walter, on the other hand, you are not going to threaten him with divine wrath because they're grown.
So he's speaking to spiritual children.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to speak to them a different way. Listen, guys, if you go out in the street, you're going to get in trouble. I'm telling you, I'm warning you now, is if you do certain things a certain way, ain't nothing I can be able to do for you. Now, you won't say that to little Radamus because he ain't going to understand all that.
Go on the street again, I'm going to elbow drop you.
You're going to threaten him with lightning bolts and stuff like that, but you're trying to keep him from destroying himself. Praise God. Yeah, all right, but and turn with me to Numbers chapter 21 so we can see some of this a little bit. I believe that this is one of the things God has really given me to study very hard on, because, and it's been something I've been studying for the past nearly over 25 years, close to most of my life ministry, actually more than 25 years, but I've been studying this situation with God's divine wrath for 25 years or more, and I've come to the conclusion about a lot of things. And I see the Old and New Testament as the record of a wonderful, loving God. So we're going to try to understand how God, some of the language, what somebody once called the punitive language in the Old Testament, we're going to understand a little bit of that today. Look at Numbers 21. Share another little scholarly secret with some of you. The Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language and later translated into English. Praise God. The New Testament was first originally written in Greek and then translated into the English language. In every language, there are words that can be translated in different ways. And sometimes people may not translate those words in the right way. And then also there are idioms that people use that if we don't recognize the idiom and we translate it literally, then we can come out with a different meaning than what the person originally meant. For example, where I grew up at in Trenton, New Jersey, when we say, man, that is a bad dude, boy. He is bad. If you don't know what we're talking about, if you don't know our idiom from Trenton, then you may say, hey, that dude, he's horrible. He must be mean and nasty. No, what we're trying to say is, man, that dude, he can play basketball, he played football, he is bad. In other words, we're trying to say he's good at everything, praise God. Yeah, exactly. But see, if you translate that, you come from another country and you don't understand the idioms of Trenton, New Jersey, and you got a basic level of English, and then I go and I'm telling you, that dude, man, he can play basketball, he can play football, he's a bad dude. Well, I'm going to stay away from him. See, so you got to understand the idioms of the different languages. And see, that's one of the things our translators of the Bible, the mistakes they made was not translating them in the idioms of the people of that time, praise God. And then they took certain words that had different meanings and they translated them into more negative meanings than positive meanings. And so that's why there's so much confusion about how tough and rough God seems to be in the Old Testament. So look at Numbers 21. Are y'all getting this so far?
Amen.
Amen. I don't know how better I can explain it. I think I just exhausted all my great scholarly expertise on this one. but let's look at some scripture and maybe we can help you a little bit more. Numbers 21, begin at verse 5, it says, "And when the people spake against God," notice that they spake against God. Say they spake against God. "When they spoke against God and against Moses," used quite often, speaking against God's leaders is speaking against God. Amen. Now, some cult leaders will use this to tell you don't ever question anything that I say. I will never tell you that. As pastor here, I will never tell you that. But I will tell you, be respectful when you question. Amen. Because when you speak against me and you're disrespectful, then you're speaking against God, especially if God is the one leading me in a certain direction. And praise God. Mm-hmm. Now, you can always say, "Pastor, I don't understand this. Can you explain it to me?" And I'm obligated to explain it to you.
Amen.
Because I am a servant of God. But we've had people who just come here, they've come here and they were nasty. I mean, just had no respect for me and just say any kind of thing against me. I'm sad to say that some of them are paying a heavy price, and I'm not happy about it. Amen. Mm-hmm. I want to see everybody prosper. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's just a little small tidbit there. And that goes for anybody. I'm not just even talking about the leader. That goes for any other Christian. Don't disrespect each other. Praise God. Mm-hmm. It goes for me, too. If I disrespect you, I still get in trouble because God loves you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, the cult leaders ain't going to tell you that. It's only about them. Mm. Speak against me no matter what I say. If I tell you I'm going to have sex with your wife, then you better not speak against me. So anytime I say something like that, then you have the right to speak against me. Praise God. but I'm talking about if God is leading me a certain direction, in a certain direction for this church, you question it, but you don't speak against it. Praise God. Mm. Unless it's something sinful.
Yeah.
All right. So, and the people spake against God and against Moses, and they started complaining. "Wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water." Now, God has been giving them bread, water, all this time. And just one day.
Took them out of slavery.
Yeah. Took them out of slavery where they was getting whipped and beaten. He gives them provision every single day, and they go a couple of hours without it. Where's the bread? Where's the water? Moses!
Was they already getting manna before
that? Oh, yeah, they was getting manna every single day. It says, "For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread." They were complaining about the manna God gave them. And so verse 6, look at this. Verse 6 says, "And the Lord sent," say the Lord sent.
"The Lord sent."
"The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." Now, that's scary, ain't it? That's language that says God is so nasty and mean, because that's the way I would read it. Man, just because I complain, now, if Patricia complained about the food I provided in the house. She complained about the way I run the house. And then I go get my pit bull and say, "Get it." And my pit bull just tears her apart and rips her up. What kind of person would y'all think I am?
Evil.
Evil. Walter says evil. But wait a minute. That's the way it says, that's just what it says right here. God did, ain't it?
That's not the way I understood it.
That's not the way you understood me either. Now I don't.
I would have understood it like that, but then you said, you know. So what you're saying is that, like...
Let me finish. Before you say that, let me go ahead and teach you something here. All right. Look at the word sent. It comes from a Hebrew word. called shellac. That word shellac, it means to allow or permit. So God didn't send these serpents, praise God. He didn't sick the serpents on them like they were some kind of ferocious dog. What God did was, at all that time, God was actually protecting the Israelites from the serpents that were around them in the wilderness. Look at Deuteronomy 8:15 real quickly. You'll see what I'm talking about. Then you'll get you will get all the answers. You will see exactly what I'm saying. Then I'll give y'all opportunity for questions. Deuteronomy 8:15. Now this says right here in 8:15, it says, "Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein there were serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint?" Praise God. Mm-hmm. What I want you to see there is that God led them. That word led is talking about protection. God led them through the wilderness and protected them. His presence was there with them, and there were snakes already there. There were scorpions already there. God was the one keeping the snakes and the scorpions off of them, praise God. Mm-hmm. But what happened, and I'm going to show you this again in the scriptures in a minute, when they began to complain, when they began to speak against God, when they began to open their big fat mouth, then God had no other choice but to remove his protective presence from them. And that gave Satan access to move the scorpions and to move the serpents in there, and it bit the people, praise God. So what happens many times is we push God away. But the language in the Old Testament, it says that God did it himself, or that's the way it's translated. But the word sent, it should have been translated as God permitted the serpents to go in and bite the people. But you'll see in a moment that he really had no choice. It wasn't God being vindictive. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. See, in Psalm 91 verse 3, it says that God protected them from hidden dangers, praise God, and from deadly diseases. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8, you don't have to turn there, it says that he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh an hedge or breaketh protection, a serpent shall bite him. Praise God. So if you're taking notes, you should put down Ecclesiastes 10 verse 8. If you break the hedge and your mouth breaks the hedge, remember, you submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to you. Praise God. Are you at 1 Corinthians 10? Let me get there. Is this coming together for y'all in a little bit? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Now, this is Paul in the New Testament talking about what actually happened in the wilderness. In verse 10, he says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured," or "neither complain," like they were complaining, "and were destroyed of the destroyer." Praise God. Amen. Who destroyed these people?
The destroyer.
The destroyer. The destroyer is Satan. John chapter 10, verse 10 says it's that the thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. We already read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, that he is the devourer. Verse 8 says that he is the devourer. Praise God. I like the Phillips New Testament translation of this. It says, "Nor yet must you curse the lot that God has appointed to you, as they did, and met their end at the hand of the angel of death." Satan is the angel of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says that death, he had the power of death. Glory to God. Now, let me give you a Let me give you a literal translation from the Greek on verse 10. It says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmur, and were destroyed of the destroyer. But, let me look at verse 9, I'm sorry. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Now, that's talking about what happened in the wilderness, praise God. Notice that Christ didn't destroy them through the serpents. Look at this translation of it. It says, but not we might pressure out the Christ, just as some of them pressured and by the snakes were destroyed. What they did was they pressured out the Christ. They put pressure on God and pushed him out, praise God. Amen. That's the literal translation of this passage. Their temptation, they pressured out the Christ. They kept telling him, they kept speaking against God and saying, get out of here. We don't trust you no more. Leave us alone. Look at what you're doing to us. You brought us in this wilderness. You've given us this nasty behind manna. You don't give us enough water. They pressured him out, praise God. They pushed him away. By their words, they opened the door for the serpents to come in and destroy them, praise God. Are y'all getting this?
Amen.
Are y'all understanding this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, turn back to Numbers 21. Now you're going to see the mercy of God in the Old Testament. Because once they pressured out God, God could have said, I ain't coming back. Amen.
Amen.
He could have said, well, I'll just leave them to their own. Mm. All this is in, if you're not taking notes, we got a book that's coming out in the very near future. It's called Does God Send Sickness? All this information is going to be in that book. Glory to God. That book is going to explain to you a lot of these type of scriptures in which we're dealing with this type of this subject. Devil destruction power does. The first chapter one explains somewhat. It gets into some good detail that a lot of other books never get into. But this book that's coming out is going to really deal with a whole bunch of the scriptures that probably have troubled so many people in the past. At least they troubled me. All right. Turn back once again to Numbers 21. See, I'm going to have to make Rather as my spokesman. He have to record him so he can sell him more books online. Because that Devil Destruction Power book ain't selling so well. Most of my other books sell so good, that one don't sell hardly at all. I don't know what it is about that book, but praise God. I'm believing the next book will sell multiple copies. Our best-selling book is Divine Healing Guaranteed. That book sells, I never go any length of time without that book selling a couple of copies. All right, Numbers 21. Look at verses 7 through 9. It says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. See, they recognize this sin, praise God.
Amen.
God loves repentance. When we repent, when we change, when we say, hey, we messed up, we blew it, we drove God away, God, please come back. It says, we have spoken against the Lord. Their mouth. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You open the door for God, you open the door for Satan. You drive God away, you can drive Satan away, praise God. And it says, pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it up on a pole. And came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of the brass, he lived. Praise God.
Amen.
God provided healing for the people when they repented. Glory to God.
Amen.
See, if you have spoken words out of your mouth, and you have opened the door for the devil, and you have driven God away, I got one word for you. Repent.
Amen.
You repent. And God loves you so much, he is happy to come back into your life and drive the serpents away and heal you. Praise God.
Amen.
Look at one more passage of scripture and we're going to close out. John chapter 3. I want you to see how this all connects to Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Jesus came to rescue us from the power of the devil. We were the ones who put ourselves under the power of Satan through our own sins, through our own lust, through our own disobedience to God. We're completely at fault for all that's happened to us, praise God. God is he has no fault in anything that's happened to us. But Jesus, still, knowing everything was our fault, came and dealt with the devil for us. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." What Jesus did, that serpent is the symbol of Satan, praise God. Because Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, talks about that old serpent, the devil. It was the serpent who was in the Garden of Eden, who tempted Eve. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, he took the devil and hung on to him and destroyed him through his own death, praise God. Amen. He destroyed the devil through his death. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says that this was the reason the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, "He destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil." Praise God.
Amen.
So all that Jesus did on that cross, through his death, his burial, his resurrection, was for you. He destroyed the devil, broke his power on your behalf. Praise God.
Amen.
So the devil, he has no legal right to hurt you, to touch you, to do anything to you. The only person that gives him the right to do anything to you is you. Mm-hmm. Your mouth determines whether you have life in your life or death in your life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Praise God.
Amen.
All the things, the negative things you read about in the Old Testament, they all happen because people either open the door for the devil and drove God out. And so God, by his language, he says that I did it to him. But the only way he did it to him was by
backing up.
Exactly. And allowing the devil to have his way in their lives. You can see that if you're taking notes, you can look at 2 Samuel 24:1 and 1 Chronicles 21:1. In 2 Samuel 24:1, it talks about how God tempted David to sin by numbering Israel, praise God. But when you go to 1 Chronicles 21:1, the same exact historical account, which was written a couple of centuries later by a prophet, by a scribe named Ezra, he says, Satan tempted David to sin and numbered Israel. The reason why you got the two different accounts is because earlier, as I was explaining to Radimus, the people did not understand fully the concept of the devil, praise God. That's why in Genesis chapter 3, you got a serpent. You don't have Satan mentioned. You just have a serpent. We learn later that it was the devil. In Genesis chapter 4, it talks about how sin was knocking at Cain's door. And that he was able to either reject it or let him in. But then we learn in 1 John chapter 3 that sin was actually Satan, praise God, the wicked one. And so, as we come to understand these things, then we will understand that in the Old Testament, a lot of the things happened to the people because they opened the door for Satan to come in and destroy their lives, praise God. And if we can understand that, then we will understand that it's not a matter of God sovereignly making things happen to us, or God vindictively allowing things to happen to us, but it's us making these things happen, and God has given us the power to either prevent it or let it happen. Praise God. Blessing and cursing is our choice. Jesus told us in Deuteronomy chapter 30, he says, I've laid before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he almost begs you, choose life. But it's your choice. Amen. Stand to your feet.
Amen.
Did you learn anything today?
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. So glad you did. I love y'all. Y'all such an attentive audience. All right, hold on.